Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father, from our crucified and risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. There are 14 days until Christmas. And while we all know that Advent means... Do you guys know what Advent means? Who knows what Advent means? What do you mean? Do we know? Show of hands, do we know what Advent means? Coming. Everybody knows Advent means coming. I think I've told you that before. The truth is that, though, the season, while it is about coming, is much more about waiting. Because that's what you do when you know something is coming. You have to wait for it. In fact, this is what we do with our packages all the time, our Christmas gifts that are coming from Amazon. I order it, and then I have to wait for it to arrive. But I know it's coming. Now, we stand at a very unique point in the world's history, because Jesus has already made his first advent, his first coming, and now we wait for his second advent. We wait, and we live by faith, not by sight, because we know that we should celebrate the Lord's advent. We know that we should celebrate his first advent, and like I said, we're going to do that in 14 days. The hard part is that we have no idea when his second advent will be. So how are you going to pass the time? And that's what we have to do, right? If you're waiting for something to come, if you have to have that time of waiting, well, you have to do something to pass the time. And so the faithful who lived during the days of Isaiah, they were waiting too. And we can take a page out of their book, because they were waiting for God to come. They were waiting for God to save them. You see, what happens during this time of Isaiah is that the Babylonians have come in, they have conquered Israel. They've destroyed Jerusalem, the temple has been torn apart, all the people have been slaughtered, and everyone who is spared from the sword has now been taken captive. What option do they have? Except to wait. Wait for deliverance, wait for God to save them. And so how do they pass the time? Prayer. They pray. And Isaiah's prayer sounds like this. Oh, that you would rend the heavens and come down, that the mountains might quake at your presence, as when fire kindles brushwood, and the fire causes water to boil, to make your name known to your adversaries, and that the nations might tremble at your presence. When you did awesome things that we did not look for, you came down. The mountains quaked at your presence. This is what people of faith do. They pray, then they wait, then they pray some more, and then they wait some more. But it's interesting to see what Isaiah actually prays for, because he prays for something that is terrifying. He prays for judgment. He prays for destruction against God's adversaries. Isaiah wants God to come down in all of his power and display all of his wrath against all of the unrighteous and all of the sinners who have now been afflicting the people of Israel, God's people. Isaiah wants there to be earthquakes and fire and trembling. Have you guys ever prayed for an earthquake to hit Clinton, Illinois? Or Chestnut? You guys ever prayed for fire to be rained down from heaven? I haven't, at least not in the place where I'm at. But the truth is that as Christians, we kind of hope for this all the time. We want God to return now. Why? Well, because we're sick of waiting. We're sick of dealing with our adversaries. God, just come down, right? Just wipe out all of the evil in the world, would you? Take out the anti-Christmas crowd, the people who don't like the Merry Christmas thing, right? They're always a kind of a thorn in our side at this time. Just get rid of them, God. I don't want to have to deal with it anymore. Right? Get rid of this idolatry of political correctness. You know, deal with those who are going to spread hate throughout the world. You know, every other week we hear about another shooting that's going on somewhere in our country. God, just get rid of it. Or, you know, another suicide bomber halfway around the world. Where are you, God? Let's just obliterate all the murderers and rapists and those who prey on the weak. Could you just fix this mess that we're in? Because that would be great for me. But I'm sure you've all heard the phrase, be careful what you wish for. Or maybe in this case, be careful what you pray for. Because we know that when God comes down, when he comes in judgment with these fires and these earthquakes to fix the mess of this world that we have, he's going to judge the unbelievers, those who are, you know, the most truly and outwardly evil. But he's also going to judge the secret places of your heart. Not just their heart, the secret places of your heart. And what is he going to find there? Does it give you pause? All right, actually, God, I changed my mind, right? Maybe I'm not ready for you to execute your wrath against all evil in the world. We should pause. And in fact, this is why Isaiah's prayer kind of changes a little bit halfway through, right? He's wishing God's judgment to come down for the unrighteous, and it kind of leads him to this point to reflect on himself and to reflect on God's people as a whole. But what if God comes back and he's not just angry with all of them? What if he's angry with me? I mean, Isaiah's prayer is the same prayer that we have. It's the same condition that our heart's in. We recognize the world is filled with all of this evil, and we can point it out really easily. Yet even while we point the finger, there's always a part of us that recognizes our own sin. And if the world needs to be fixed, does that mean we need to be fixed too? Isaiah says, behold, you were angry and we sinned. And in our sin, we have been a long time. Shall we be saved? We've all become like one who is unclean, and all our righteous deeds are like a polluted garment. We all fade like a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, take us away. When God comes, what side of eternity will you be on? Well, it depends on if you're Advent Christians or not. The advent of God in the person of Jesus is the answer to Isaiah's prayer. Those who waited patiently for God's deliverance, even those who wished God would come in his wrath, they really just want an end to sin. And so God doesn't necessarily bring that wrath upon them, but instead he does something about the problem in the world. Isaiah says, be not so terribly angry, O Lord, and remember not iniquity forever. Behold, please look, we are all your people. Rend the heavens, God, and we see it. God does rip the heavens open, and he gives a response to the prayer of Israel, only it has to be a little while down the road. Because we all remember the message that the shepherds received on the day that Jesus was born. Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. God's first advent is one that declares grace and mercy and peace for all his people. It's a message that God is not so terribly angry. He doesn't remember iniquity forever, because his son has come to live amongst his people. Because Jesus has come to save you, to shed his blood for you, to die for you, to pronounce forgiveness for you, even for those things that you hold in the secret places of your heart, they are wiped away. And when Jesus rises again in victory, he is victorious for you. We have this Jesus. That was God's first advent. And so as Isaiah prays this prayer, and as we sometimes pray this prayer, we have nothing to fear, because God doesn't see our sin. He sees his people. And as we have received this Jesus by faith, we can wait, just like Isaiah did, just like those people of Israel did so many years ago. We wait and we pray, and we know that God will come and deal mercifully with us. He will come to bring an end to all the bad in this world, and we will end up in the good place, while God's enemies will receive his judgment. As you have received this Jesus, you can live 14 days from Christmas and wait and pray, for the work of Jesus' pierced hands have granted you eternal life when Jesus advents again. Amen. But now, O Lord, you are our Father. We are the clay, and you are our potter. We are all the work of your hand. Amen.